Robert was a general joint. He'd been here over 27 years. And he was a pledger and pastor because he never gave me no trouble. You wouldn't know he was an educated man. He would just sit humbly like a little child and receive what thus saith the Lord. Now, I have a head surgeon here. One time he said this to me, our pastor, him and his family, Peter Bostick. And he said to me one time, he says, when I'm in my operating room, it's my operating room. And he'll save a lot of people lives. He said, but when I come here, it's your operating room. So I'm going to operate today. Amen. On your hearts, on Shirley's heart, on the daughter's heart, son's heart, on the friend's heart who are here to pay respect to Big Brown, we call him. I have a word from the Lord. It comes in two phrases, one uneducated, another one educated. The first phase of the word that I have, it ain't over yet. Amen. That's the uneducated part. The educated part is, he shall live again. And I want to deal with it from that perspective, yet shall he live. When you born again, and when the Spirit of God lives in you, no matter who you are, where you've been, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Jesus is the greatest thing that ever existed. No matter where you've been, who you are, you must know that without Jesus, you're losing all the time. I was to say to you, Shirley, congratulations on taking care of your husband. Move this flower, I can't see her. Congratulations for taking, move the flower on the side, I want to see him. Congratulations for taking care of your husband. You're a woman that took care of your husband, and I'm proud of you for that. And then, proud of reading scriptures, we have to know that this is a celebration. It is an order of a Christian that died in the Lord. It's time to celebrate because we know it's not over yet. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit said to me, make sure the family is assured of the comforting power of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing that the Holy Ghost can't handle. He's real. He's here. He's powerful, he's loving, and he cannot fail. The fourth thing, part of reading the scripture, the Lord told me to tell the family and the friend, the word of God gives us a complete truth of what happened at physical death of a believer. Notice I said physical death of a believer. And so we must meditate on the conquering power of Jesus' resurrection over death. Belong to Brown. Jesus' resurrection shut death power down. And then the other thing, this man Brown, he stayed under God appointed covering for his life. And that's why I have to preach today. Amen. He stayed under the covering. He was, you wouldn't know he was in here. He just sit and follow instruction. He died in the Lord. He died in faith. Listen very closely. You may be seated. He died with resurrection power on the inside of him. I can't hear you.
Amen.
Got any Christian in here?
Yeah.
He died. Now, let's make a difference. Let's make a difference to a daughter, to the wife, to the daughter, son. He died, and we as Christians have to understand this. He died with resurrection power in him. It was said to me in my meditation that Brown didn't only have one PhD. And then the Lord said to me, every believer has a PhD. And I'm to share that with you. Power, the Holy Ghost, and dominion over death. Every believer walks in that category. We who are in Christ, we all have a PhD. Power. Power that no institution can give you. Power that comes from another source. Power that don't go by time, it moves by eternity. Power that is able to rob a grave of the person who's been placed in the grave. And so I want to preach a few moments today. He died in the Lord, he died in faith with resurrection power on the inside of him. Paul said, the great apostle Paul said, may I operate here?
Yes.
The great apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I might know him, that's Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. When you get a revelation of Jesus and the revelation of his resurrection, everything else takes second place. No matter what kind of house you have, what kind of car you drive, what kind of job you have, what kind of office you have, how much money you have, everything, once you find out Jesus, who Jesus really is, everything else takes second place. Amen? So Jesus had to face a death of a friend. I heard you talking about your friend. That attorney talking about his friend. Jesus had a friend called Lazarus.
Yes, sir.
And they sent for Jesus, and Jesus tarried, didn't run. I'm not going to preach long. Jesus didn't run to his bedside. He just waited, and Lazarus twofold. And this same thing for Brown. Brown died, but on the other hand, Brown went to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what happened to put him going to sleep, right? Yeah, they're going to get up. And the Christian life, when a Christian leave this physical body, the Bible called it sleep. Mean that they're resting now. But there'll be a resurrection. And there'll be a reunion. How many of y'all going to meet Brown? To meet Brown, you're going to have Christ in your heart. You're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to receive the word of God with meekness. You cannot receive the word of God with pride. You're going to have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, God, you're the greatest. I've done everything I could do in my life, but I can't do no more. I need your help. When the breath leaves your body, who take over then? It's important, ladies and gentlemen, it's important that you hear what I'm saying, because every man, Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was one of the most highly educated men in the world, Jesus talked to him, and he talks his philosophy and his psychology, and then Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I don't care what your background is. The day has come that you must humble yourself and recognize you need a Savior. Okay, who you are. It's so important. And it's so important. In John's Gospel, chapter 11, these two sisters was like we are this morning, Mary and Martha. They were mourning for their only brother. And finally, Jesus showed up. And Jesus said some astounding words Here in John chapter 11, verse 22. Now, these sisters didn't know something. Watch what they didn't know. After they talked to him a while, they said in verse 22, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it to thee." They knew Jesus had connection with the Father. Why he had connection with the Father? He was his only begotten Son. And that brings me to a scripture what I got saved of. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him," watch this, "should not perish." Brown did not perish. It ain't over yet. "Yet shall he live again." Say it. "Yet shall he live again." Say it. It'll comfort your heart when you go to thinking about your friendship and your loved one. "Yet shall he live again." Jesus said unto her, talking to this sister now, she concerned about her brother, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And then Jesus made this statement in John 11, 25. Sometime read it. Jesus said to her, now these first two words are words that cannot be calibrated or calculated. "I am." Ooh. That deal with the past, present, and future. In street word, I'm all that. Jesus said, "I am." The same word he said to Moses when 3 million people needed deliverance. He told Moses, said, "I am that I am." What that mean? Whatever you need at any time, that's what I am. And so here he said to this girl who concerned about her brother, a brother in the grave. But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Then he made this astonishing statement. "He that believeth in me, though he was dead," and here come our word for the family. Jesus said it. Look at these words. This is biblical. "Yet shall he live." I'm in the 25th verse. John 11, 25. I'm almost through. Some of y'all look so serious, so deep. I've been here 43 years. I've been preaching 43 years. I've preached in Madison Square Garden. I've preached in Brazil. I've preached to 20,000 people at one time. So I'm not a rookie. I'm here just to help you a little bit today. I'm not going to be here long. Glory to God. I'm just letting you know I'm not afraid of you. I want to help you. I want to bless you. This is my operating room. I want to operate a little bit. I want to help you if you lost a loved one. The loved one went ahead of you. Or you got to face. Everybody in here got to face death? And maybe I could say something. He said, "Yet shall he live." And then he said in the 26th verse, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this." Now, in dealing with this, "yet shall he live," there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, 19. It says, "if in this life only." Now, to say that, 1 Corinthians 15, 19, to say that, you say the scripture said, "if in this life only." So that means, that has to mean, there's another life. Why would the scripture say it? That is right there. "If in this life only." In other words, don't put all your eggs in this basket. I mean, you're here for a little while and soon fade away. But here the writer asks, "if in this life only we have hope in Christ." Look what he says. "If this all you have, a house and two cars and a card for the club, we are of all men most miserable." In other words, it's miserable to know this is the only life I have, physical life. But thank God there's something beside physical life. There's a spiritual life There's an eternal life. There's a life that never ends. There's a life, there's a place that you'll never have to die no more. There's a place with God in Christ that you live and you live and you live and you live and you live. No more undertaker. No more funerals. There's a place, I tell you. There's a place. You got to believe. You got to have faith. There's a place. Well, there'll be no more dying. No more crying. No more flowers. No more goodbye. No more is over. Every day is just beginning. One of you know what I'm talking about. One of you have had this experience. Wonder if you're ready. Brown have made his run. He made it safely. I wonder if you're ready. I wonder if when your day come, I don't know when it's going to be, I don't know when mine. When it come, are you ready? I got my business fixed. 43 years ago, I met a man called Jesus. And he saved me. He saved me. And I've been running ever since. Amen. I know I'm looking at other Christians in you. I know they know him. Oh, my goodness. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. You don't have to look for nobody else. I'll handle it. I'm going to handle Lazarus. So the misery of life without Christ, the misery of trying to figure out how I'm going to make it is miserable. If you don't have Christ in your life to help you in moments where you can't help yourself, you're living a miserable life. But when you got Christ in your life, you know that nothing else can master you. You know that you got a master can master everything and that he can help you in every situation. I'm telling you, there's a day you're going to need blood on your life. And nothing but the blood of Jesus. He died on the cross. He paid a price. You are, I testify, I'm bought with a price. Therefore, I'm the glorified God in my body and my spirit. What's your God? Oh, my goodness. I wish you would hear me today. Some of you may never hear my voice again. Some of you will never be challenged like I'm challenging today. But you must be born again. If you're going to see Brown again, you can't go where Brown is by your academics. You can't go where Brown is with a doctor's degree or PhD. You got to be born again. You got to know Jesus personally for yourself. One writer said, if this earthly half of a tabernacle dissolve, I have another building. Not made with hand. Eternal in the heaven. I wish somebody would say amen. I got 5 minutes to go. That's why I let, you know, you have restriction, but I know Victor. And then I met the lawyer. See, you have 3 minutes. I just let them talk. I know they want to talk about their friend. See? So when the girls want to sing, I said, no, we're not going to be all day. I'm going to go up and minister a few minutes now. There's a scripture. Then Hebrews 13 for a minute. Just give me a minute. Do I have a minute? Yes, you know, I got something to do with Brown. Brown sat there years and listened to me preach. There's a verse in Hebrews 11:13 says, boy, I really feel like preaching. I'm trembling up here. I feel the Holy Ghost. Anybody here know the Holy Ghost? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I sense the Holy Ghost up in here. It's a Holy Ghost funeral. You know who the Holy Ghost is? Huh? He's the third person of the Godhead. He's full of power. Amen. He can help you. Right now, who gonna rock Shirley late tonight? The Holy Ghost gonna rock us. Who's gonna be there when all of us going in our cars and going our various ways? The Holy Ghost gonna be there. He's a helper. He's a standby. He's a strengthener. He's invisible, but he's here. He's sitting in the pew right next to you. He's sitting in the chair right next to you. The Holy Ghost. He's here. He's here. Good God Almighty, he's here. I love Brown. I mean, you have members like Brown, boy, you can pastor a church. Brown never interfered. Whatever way you told him march, he marched. You wouldn't even know he was an educated man like he is. Notice I say it like he is. You didn't know he was educated like that. He just sat, humming himself. He ain't giving no trouble. You didn't know. You didn't know. He had all those degrees and all those paperwork and all the things he brought to the system. You wouldn't even know it. He just sat there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Listen to this. And were persuaded of them, that's Brown, and embraced them, that's Brown, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrim on earth. Now, whether you confess it or not, you're a stranger here. This is not your home. No matter. Can I say this, Lord? Oh my goodness, can I say this? I live in a mansion. I drive 2 Rolls Royce. I'm a preacher. So the best thing in life is No trick to me. God raised me up so I could preach to anybody. I've been married 45 years. I'm a happy man. So I'm just sharing with you my background to let you know that I know the goodness of God and that God is a good God. And God will take care of his own. And the Bible is true. The Bible is a book of prosperity, freedom, strength, power, glory, long life, health, victory, grace, mercy. There's a throne you can go to when you're in the Bible. Brown knew about that throne. I taught him about it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace where you can find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. When grace wrap around you, when mercy wrap around you, when God's goodness wrap around you, nobody can handle you. When God got his hand on you, when God got a plan for you. God got a plan. God always got a plan. You know, God has a plan. God always has a plan. How long I been up here? 20 minutes? 15? Hallelujah. Let me read. I want Shirley to hear this. Let me read 1 Thessalonians here a minute. Just let me read. Y'all be merciful to me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I really want to cut up. I'm just trying to act dignified. Hallelujah. You see, you didn't have to tell us about your 2 Rolls Royce. Yes, I did. I want y'all to know that God is a good God. People get all upset about them. They both was gifts to me. The guy gave me the keys. I said, yeah, I'll take it. Would you have took it? No, I don't want this. I won't be mine. No, give me the key. Victor, you'd have took them keys too. You knew you'd have took them keys. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Now this, I'm going to read this here and I think I'm going to close. But this will kind of wrap it up for us to have as a family. So we all in the same family. But I pray that if there are person here do not know what I'm talking about when I say being born again, because a lot of time we join organizations, but we're not really saved. Now, you know, one person say, don't judge me. Well, I'm not judging you. I'm trying to help you. You're going to have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's the only way. You can sign all the papers you want. You can take communion. You can sing song. Unless you accept Jesus in your heart, you're not born again. And if you're not born again, you cannot go where Brown gone. You heard me, Mayor? Yeah, I know you said it. But you got to have that, you see. Now, so yeah, let me read this. Oh my God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm thank God for Brown. They all thank God. Wave your hand at me, thank God for Brown. He touched your life? He touched my life. I thank God for him. Oh my goodness. And I thank God. This is a good family. I love this family. Listen, let me read this. The dead in Christ shall rise. Here in the 13th verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I think this sums it up. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, that based on that scripture I read in 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life we have hope only in this life, we are people of most misery. This voice answered, watch what it says. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. See, you call that sleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, if Brown wasn't in the Lord, surely this would be a hard funeral to preach. Because I couldn't use the Bible like I'm using it now. But because he's in the family of God, I can preach the whole Bible. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, I believe it. How many of y'all believe it? How many of y'all believe it? I can't hear y'all. Even so, them also was sleeping in Jesus, will God bring with him. Where Brown at? Sleeping in Jesus, right? For this we're saying to you by the words of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Listen, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Give me a little shout in here. Hey! With the voice of the archangel. And with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ. Shall. One of the strongest words in the English dialect. Shall. shall rise first. Then we which are alive. Thank God some of us still be living. And remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you know what the scripture said in 1 Thessalonians 4:18? Wherefore, comfort. That is. That's all I'm doing. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Temporary separation. One day all of God's children, including you, should all of us going to be together. We'll have a reunion with Brown. Physically, we're separated now. But spiritually, God's going to give him a new body. And we're all going to come back together. Amen. It ain't over yet. Yet, yeah, he lived. I want you to think about those words. I always try to help in a funeral. When I'm preaching a funeral, I ask the Lord to give me a message that will strengthen the family and strengthen the friend. Because every time when pressure starts coming on you now, you hear the broken English side, it ain't over yet. And then you hear the words of Jesus. Those words come out of a master mouth. You know, some people talk and can't back it up. Right. But Jesus said, yet shall he live. Yes, Jesus always backed up what he said. You know what he said in my conclusion? You know what he said? He said with Lazarus, he was at Lazarus' funeral. Let me show you what he said. I'm going to close. Now, you don't tell me how long I can preach now. This my operating room. Let's get a few minutes. I'm almost through. But don't tell me. You know, don't do me that now. Don't do me like that. Jesus said, after he said I'm the resurrection, you know what he asked? Here it is. Where have you laid him? And they cried and they made us up. And then Jesus said, take away the stone. In verse 39. Then in verse 40, Jesus said to them, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe it, or believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. The 41st verse, I'm just reading phrases that are coming to a close. Jesus said, then Jesus prayed. He had Lazarus' grave. Now the man, he said, move the stone away. Father, I thank thee that thou have heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The next verse, just one part of the verse. And then Jesus said this. Lazarus, he's talking to a dead man. Lazarus, come forth.
Yes, sir.
And then the Bible says in the last aspect of it, as I close, I could have used this for Brown's funeral. Jesus, in the 44th verse, Jesus says, loose him and let him go.
Amen.
I want to tell you right now, the grave can't hold Bob. The day going to come that God going to call his name. When God going to call your name personally, nobody else going to be the answer for you. You're the answer for yourself. But I could hear God calling him by the name now. Robert,
yes, sir.
Your time's up of laying in the grave. It's time for me to give you a check for what you've done so long. You believed in me. You died in me. Rise to die no more. You only die one time, but you'll never have to die again. God bless you. God bless you. God keep you. I hope those words are happy in the years to come. Come, son.